All right. Now, the Victorian election. We have an election in Victoria in November. A freshwater strategy poll really got attention this week because it showed that Labor is now third on the primary vote. The Coalition on 27, One Nation 25 in Victoria, which is known as the most progressive state, and Labor on 23. And there was one in April that showed all three of them around the 24-25% mark. So I think you have to accept that at least at this stage, if you had an election now, Labor's going to be struggling on those numbers.
Yeah, they're fighting political gravity. 12-year-old government asking for 16.
Yep.
Brax Brumby was 11 years. It was objectively a pretty good government. They couldn't get more than 11. And to Shane's point before, my neighbourhood friend, I think he's right insofar as One Nation are going to really eat into Victorian Labor urban seats in the outer suburbs in particular. Especially one of the most dangerous things you can have when you do seat by seat polling is where you ask win expectations. You know, do you think Labor or Liberal who will win this seat? And the most dangerous thing is where win expectations for the incumbent is incredibly high, but there's a mood for change, a strong mood for change, the right wrong direction. Because then you can do a protest message, you know, make this a marginal seat. You know, only marginal seats get more funding for health or roads or education and so forth. And it's terrifying in focus groups for the incumbent where they feel they can express their frustration through the ballot box, but I'll still have my Labor candidate. I don't want Labor to lose this seat, but I want to send them a strong message because that protest can sometimes turn into a vote transfer to One Nation. So because of the age of the government, perceived failures of the government, strong mood for change at around 74% wrong direction, some of those outer urban seats that Labor holds, they're going to be putting a lot of resources into those seats. So it's going to be kind of reverse of what happened to the Coalition last time with fighting teal seats federally, fighting on two different fronts.
And the difference between this and a federal election is there's a lot more seats in the outer suburbs than a state election, of course. And so that's why One Nation is a greater threat. But there was one aspect in that poll, the freshwater poll. 62% said that Jacinta Allan should be replaced. I'm not sure whether that would be the sentiment because normally, look, it makes sense at times to change leaders when you're in opposition, and it doesn't have quite the impact to change a leader when you're in government. You're sacking effectively a prime minister or a premier, and that's a bigger deal, and it doesn't happen very often, and it doesn't happen very often in Victoria either. But wouldn't it just reinforce the whole feeling that Labor has become a bit of a rebel?
It's a Hail Mary, but sometimes these things work. Challengers always believe they can win. They'd all be looking at Scott Morrison's perceived miracle election win in 2019 and sort of think, I can do that too. But I think more broadly in Victoria we have Ben Carroll as Deputy Premier. He's the presumptive Premier if there's a change of leadership. He's on around 5% margin. I think he'd be looking at this and thinking, if I'm Premier, I might lose the election but save some furniture, especially my own seat. It's unlikely that they'll vote against the Premier, sitting Premier. Not unprecedented, but it's unlikely. I'll then be opposition leader next term, and I'm trusting a coalition with Liberals, Nationals and One Nation will fall over or implode in 4 years, and then I'll be back as Premier.
Ben Carroll doesn't have a high profile. When Dan Andrews was around, there were three or four people who had a higher profile than he has with Jacinta Allan. For the benefit of those living outside of Victoria, I'll give you a bit of a sense of who Ben Carroll is. I think Chip LeGrand landed it in The Age when he said he's more Richie Cunningham than the Fonz. And I think that's so true. I don't see him as the saviour, but then your theory is, well, neither does he. You would think that perhaps he's looking at and being effectively the opposition leader, but for 4 years, it's a long time.
If I was Machiavellian, that's how I'd be approaching it.
The other attitude around there, or the other quandary for them too, is when is it too late? When is it too late? 5 months away from the election.
I think that's starting to call it fine. Now, it was in opposition, so it's a different metric and it's a different era. But Brax replaced Brumby 6 months out from the election and won. And that's when everybody thought Kennett was going to cruise it in.
Yeah, but that wasn't a case of a leadership challenge.
No, but I mean,
you can retire as Dan Andrews did, and that's been the only change in the Labor Party for a very long time, was when Dan Andrews retired and Jacinta Allan took over. all of the leadership changes, I think about five of them beyond Andrews to Allan, have all been on the coalition side of politics in the last 6 years.
Yeah, and intuitively, you know, Brumby didn't have the support of the party room anymore, but he was smart enough to recognise that they had a chance of winning if they unified, and he stood down. So it looked seamless, you know, to the average voter. There wasn't any bloodshed. So I think that was an incredibly important part that Brumby played in that transition and made them more competitive in the subsequent election. But they had 6 months and defied all odds.
I just think, if Labor's numbers are, 23? If it goes lower than that, you're getting down to the low 20s, and that's when you do call on the Hail Mary. But it's never helpful. It's very late. Federally, it happened when Julia Gillard took the leadership from Kevin Rudd. Then Kevin Rudd took it from Julia Gillard, and within about 4 weeks of that, an election was called. So that was very late.
Yeah.
It didn't work, of course. Rudd lost the election. But I do think that he probably held a few more seats than Julia Gillard would have held.
Yep.
But still, it's kind of desperation stakes, isn't it, when you're starting to look at this? But do you do if your numbers keep plummeting?
Mate, you all see your own political mortality when the polls are bad. You're in a marginal seat. You know, you worry about what the future holds. It's just human nature. Especially if you've got ambitions to be, you know, a senior cabinet minister one day and you sort of suddenly see yourself unemployed.
Mm. Well, that's the program for this week. We're out of time. This podcast was made on the lands of the Wurundjeri people. It was produced by Daniel Seymo and Bert Nguyen.
The executive producer is Hannah Parks.
I'm Barry Cassidy.
And I'm Tony Barry. And this is Back to Back Barry's, a Guardian Australia podcast. Mm-hmm.